Music Doodoo Classical Bedtime presents Johann Sebastian Bach and the Moonlight Manuscript. Imagine a road that never ends. It stretches through dark forests, over frozen hills, past quiet villages where smoke curls from chimneys. 250 miles of mud and stone and cold autumn wind. Now imagine walking every single step of it. Not for a prize, not for a chest of gold, but for a sound. Tonight, I want to tell you about a young man who did exactly that. He packed a small bag, laced up his worn leather boots, and set off into the cold, because he had to hear something with his own ears. His name was Johann Sebastian Bach. Bach was born in 1685 in a little German town called Eisenach. In those days, Germany wasn't one big country. It was a patchwork of tiny kingdoms and dukedoms, each with its own castle and its own church. The Bach family was famous for music. Not just Sebastian. His father was a musician. His uncles were musicians. His brothers, his cousins, even his great-great-grandfather. When people in that part of Germany said a Bach, they sometimes just meant a musician. But when Sebastian was only 9 years old, something terrible happened. First, his mother died. Then, just months later, his father died too. Little Sebastian was an orphan, and he had to go live with his older brother, Johann Christoph, in a town called Ohrdruf. Here's where things get interesting. Sebastian's older brother was a good musician. He had a cupboard, a tall wooden cabinet with a heavy iron lock, and inside that cupboard were precious manuscripts. Music written by the greatest composers of the day. Music young Sebastian was desperate to study. But Johann Christoph said no. "You're not ready," he told his little brother. "This music is too advanced for you." So what did Sebastian do? Every night, after the candles were blown out and his brother's footsteps creaked up the stairs, young Sebastian crept back down in the darkness. The cabinet had a fancy lock, but the doors had gaps between the wooden slats, just wide enough to slip a rolled-up piece of paper through. In the shivering cold of his room, Sebastian squinted at the stolen pages. The moon through his window was his only candle. He didn't just look at the notes. He traced each one until his fingers remembered the shape of every melody. Scritch, scritch, went his pen, hour after hour, while the rest of the world slept. His hand cramped, his eyes stung, but night after night he kept writing. For 6 whole months, Sebastian was stealing secrets, one ink drop at a time. When his brother finally discovered what Sebastian had done, he was furious. He took away all the copies. Months of work, crumpled up and locked away, where Sebastian could never reach them again. But here's the thing about copying music by hand, note by note, in the dark. You don't just copy it onto paper, you copy it into your mind. Every pattern, every trick, every clever way the melody twisted and turned, it had already travelled through Sebastian's eyes, through his fingers, and planted itself deep inside him. His brother could take away the paper. He could lock the cupboard tighter than ever. But he couldn't reach inside Sebastian's head and take back what was already there. What you truly learn becomes part of you, and no one in the whole world can ever take that away. Years passed. Sebastian grew into a young man, a brilliant organist with restless feet and an even more restless mind. He had a job playing the organ at a church in a town called Arnstadt. But then he heard about someone. Someone people called the greatest organist in all of Northern Europe. His name was Dietrich Buxtehude, an old master who lived far away in a city called Lübeck, right by the cold grey sea. And every year, as winter came, Buxtehude held special evening concerts at his church, music that people travelled from all across Germany to hear. Sebastian had to go. He needed to hear this music. He needed to watch the old master's hands dancing across the organ keys. There was just one problem. Lübeck was 250 miles away, and Sebastian didn't have a horse. He didn't have a carriage. He barely had any money at all. So he did the only thing he could do. He walked.
That is how Bach's most famous organ piece begins, like a thunderclap splitting the sky.
Now imagine you're 20 years old. A small bag hangs over your shoulder. Your boots are already worn at the heels. The roads in 1705 weren't smooth like our roads today. They were rivers of mud when it rained, squelch, squelch, squelch with every step. They were hard as iron when they froze. Ruts and stones waited to twist your ankle. There were no buses, no trains, no cars. Just the sound of your own breathing, the whistle of wind through your thin cloak, the endless rhythm of your feet. One step, then another, then another. For nearly 2 weeks, that's all Sebastian did. Walk, rest, walk again. Past villages where dogs barked and children stared at the stranger. Through forests where the branches creaked like old doors. And you know what I think Sebastian did all those long hours? I think he listened to the crunch of leaves, to the pattern of his own footsteps, to the music that was already building inside his head, note by note, step by step. The music Bach loved most had a special name, counterpoint. Imagine a master clockmaker bent over a tiny table with a magnifying glass. He's fitting hundreds of gears together, little ones, big ones, ones that spin fast, ones that turn slow. Each gear is different, each one moves in its own way. But because the clockmaker designed them so carefully, they all lock together. They tick and turn and mesh, and out comes something magical, the perfect measurement of time. That is counterpoint. It's the art of making different melodies, each one moving its own way, fit together like the gears of a magnificent musical clock. Listen now to how many different instruments are weaving together. Horns, violins, oboes. Each playing something different, yet all of them fitting perfectly. And there's an even more special kind of counterpoint called a fugue. Do you know what the word fugue means? It comes from an old word for chase, like a game of tag. In a fugue, one voice starts singing a melody all by itself. Then a second voice sneaks in, tapping the first on the shoulder. My turn! And sings the same melody. But the first voice doesn't stop. It keeps going, weaving something new. Then a third voice joins. Wait for me! And sometimes a fourth. All of them playing follow the leader. But nobody ever stops being the leader. They chase and weave and dance around each other. In the next piece, listen for the way each voice follows the one before it, like friends running through a garden, one after another, each taking their own winding path, but somehow all arriving at the same beautiful place.
Thank you.
Did you hear them? The voices entering one by one, then dancing together, each one different, but all of them fitting like gears in a clock. Writing a fugue is like building a puzzle out of thin air. You have to figure out how voice two can follow voice one without crashing, how voice three can slip in without tangling the others. Bach became the greatest puzzle builder who ever lived. He could make four, even five voices chase each other around without ever getting stuck. Like juggling while riding a bicycle while singing a song. And after walking for nearly 2 weeks, through rain and cold and aching legs, Sebastian finally arrived in Lübeck.
Imagine stepping into a great stone church at twilight. The ceiling soars high above you, vanishing into shadows. Candles flicker on iron stands, casting long golden fingers of light across the walls. The air smells of cold stone and wood smoke and something ancient. And then, high above, the organ begins to breathe. Sebastian stood in the back of Buxtehude's church and listened. He watched the old master's hands fly across the keys like birds. He saw how music could fill a space so completely that the very stones seemed to sing. He was only supposed to stay 1 month. His job back in Arnstadt expected him home. But Sebastian stayed 4 months. He simply couldn't leave. Every night brought new music. Every day brought new secrets to learn. The same stubborn boy who copied manuscripts by moonlight was still hungry.
Learned so much from Buxtehude. New ways to make the organ thunder and whisper. New patterns. New ways to make the gears of counterpoint spin faster and smoother. When he finally walked back home, yes, another 250 miles, his church was not happy. "Where have you been?" they demanded. "He was months late." But Sebastian didn't mind their scolding. His head was full of music. His fingers itched to try everything he'd learned. And now he had a question that would guide the rest of his life. Could music be built like a cathedral?
with pillars and arches and towers that all balance perfectly? Could it follow patterns as beautiful and exact as mathematics and still touch your heart? Bach believed it could. He believed math and magic were the same thing, if you knew how to listen.
Years later, Bach wrote something extraordinary, the Goldberg Variations. A variation is when you take one simple melody and dress it up in different clothes. Make it dance faster, slow it down to a whisper. Turn it upside down, play it backwards. The Goldberg Variations has 30 different versions of the same tune. 30 costumes for one melody to wear. But here's the secret. Every third variation is a special puzzle called a canon, where one voice sings a melody and another voice follows with the exact same notes, just a few beats behind, like an echo that harmonizes with itself. All those patterns, all those mathematical gears turning together, and yet somehow it feels like a warm blanket wrapping around you.
To play you something very special. Near the end of the Goldberg Variations, Bach wrote a piece so different from all the others that people call it the Black Pearl. While most of the variations dance and sparkle, this one moves slowly, deeply, like walking through a quiet forest at dusk. All those mathematical patterns are still there. The gears still turn, the puzzle still fits. But somehow, through all that perfect order, Bach reaches straight into your heart. Close your eyes. Let this music hold you. Johann Sebastian Bach never became famous during his own lifetime. Not really. People thought his music was too complicated, too full of puzzles and patterns. But he didn't write music for fame. He wrote it because music was how he understood the world. In a life full of hardship, orphaned young, scolded by teachers, walking hundreds of miles through the cold, music was where everything made sense, where all the pieces fit together perfectly. When he died in 1750, many people forgot him. But his music waited patiently, like those manuscripts locked in his brother's cupboard, waited for someone to discover it again.
And when they did, they realised Bach wasn't old-fashioned at all. He had built something timeless. Cathedrals made entirely of sound.
As you drift towards sleep tonight, think about young Sebastian. The moonlight on his paper, the scritch of his pen, the long muddy road stretching out before him. He didn't know he would become the greatest composer who ever lived. He just knew he needed to learn. He needed to hear the music. And he would walk however far it took. Sometimes the most important journeys aren't about where you end up. They're about all the things you carry home inside you. The secrets that live forever in your mind. Away.